that?
We're live.
Are we?
I didn't mean
to. How could it be possible to be live?
I didn't mean to. What?
Shalom, everybody. I think they can hear me because I'm not plugged up. So plug me in. We're getting ready here.
I hit the button. You're seeing right now the pre-preparation of Pastor Ben and Pastor Sandy getting ready for Hebrew class. Our 16th session, Pastor Ben. And we are ready to roll.
I hit the button by mistake, y'all.
Okay, so welcome to live, because we really live, because we're still kind of getting prepared here. Okay. Is this going to stretch me all the way to the board? Yeah, because I need to stay here where I'm at, though, right?
Nope. There you go.
I'm still live.
Still live, y'all. Da-da. Still live.
We're going to call this Backstage with Pastor Sandy.
The blooper.
Backstage with Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben. Da 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 da. Okay.
Can you walk over there now?
Yeah, I can do it now. I have plenty of room now. Okay. I want to know how many of those people got their Shema prayers. Because that Shema prayer is amazing. Shalom, everybody. Is everybody... Pastor Ben hit the live button faster than he meant to. And so we are live with you. Okay.
Oh yeah, we're good.
Here we go. We are going to start off in a word of prayer, because this day is, the title of it is called Learning How to Fish for Yourself. And I love the title because people always ask me a lot of questions about the Bible and stuff, and you know, you can always give them the answer, but sometimes I won't give them the answer. I'll tell them where to go get the answer so that they can learn how to start fishing the scriptures out for themselves and learning the scriptures for themselves. And it's always a great help when you can fish for yourself. You don't have to wait for someone else to give you the answer. Or, you know, just you want to study out something, but you want to study it in depth. That's what this Hebrew class is about. Like I said, I want to teach you how to read Hebrew, lechor, kotev, how to write in Hebrew, ledaber, how to speak in Hebrew. But the most important thing I want you to learn is how the Bible works according to the Hebrew language. That is the unique thing about Rishon Messianic Bible College, is that you're going to learn how to take God's language and incorporate it into your study so that you can get the fullness of what God wants to talk about. And I say that is the motto of this school. Okay, so I want to start off in prayer. I hope you guys have received your Shema prayers, because that is the prayer we're going to be opening with until everyone gets their homework in to write out the Shema prayer in Hebrew, because I want you to keep writing those Hebrew letters and keep learning how to write the Hebrew letters and being more comfortable with it. And I'm not sure if everybody's practicing on their own, so I have to give you assignments like this to make sure that you practice. And I'm making this a mandatory thing for your grade because I want you to continue practicing how to write your Hebrew. So when you see a word, you can write it and say, this is the word that I wanted to study out. Okay, so let's open up with the Shema prayer. And I don't know if I should save you my singing, because I am not.
They love your singing.
Yeah. So we'll open up and then we will say the Shema prayer. As I'm saying it, you know, I mean, go back and look at the words and how to pronounce it. Don't try to learn the whole thing in one. When I learned the Shema prayer, I just learned Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And then I learned what that meant, okay? And then it says, hear and obey Israel, the Lord your God is one unit. One, echad means a single unit, okay? Echad does not denote a single individual. It denotes a single unit. So like Elohim is a single unit. Like you are a single unit, but you are made in the image of Elohim. So you are a body, soul, and a spirit, but I never say to you, all three of you, get over here. Because we know that we're made in the image of Elohim, and we know the I am on the end of a word is what? That's an S. I am is the English S for Hebrew, okay? So when you say Elohim, even Elohim is seeing himself that I am Echad, which does not mean the Lord thy God is one. The Lord thy God is one unit. There is a word in Hebrew for a single unit, and it is pronounced differently than the Echad, okay? And we'll go over there someday. Okay. Sing. All right, here we go. Where's my tallit? I'm gonna. Some people. I'm gonna do this. But I'm not going to cover my head because I don't have to. All right, here we go. Shema Yisrael, Adonai. Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Three times for the Trinity. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vechavata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov levavacha, Uvko nefishcha, Uvko mechodecha, Vehayu ha-devarim ha-ele asher anoki mishfacha hayom al levavacha veshanatam levanecha vederbarta bam beshiftecha bevetecha uvletecha vederek ushochbecha ukumecha ushatam laot al yadecha vehayu letutafot maina yenecha uvtachtam al mizazot biteka uvijareka. And the prayer is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words which I command you, his commandments, today be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your home, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Isn't that a incredible prayer that God gives to Israel? I mean, it sounds to me like I want to monopolize your whole life. This is how you're going to be blessed. And I think that is an incredible thing that Elohim is telling you. Oh, by the way, this is how I want you to love me. I want to monopolize your thinking. I want you to talk about me when you sit around your house. I want you to, when you're walking on the way, I want you to talk only about me. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to talk about me. When you lie down at night, I want you to be about me. Oh, and by the way, write my scriptures on your doorposts, in your homes. Talk to my scriptures about with your children. When they go to sleep at night, when they wake up, let me, God is saying, I want to be the dominant factor in your life. That is how God says he wants you to love him. And so to be lukewarm is kind of strange to God, because if you only call him when you need him, It's not really a relationship. My wife isn't this bad, but she likes to have some attention, okay? And she don't like when you're ignoring her. She will sit there and she'll go, "I feel ignored." And I just know that's how relationships are. God wants you to be fully into him and on fire for him. He's a wonderful, merciful God. Okay. If you were here, if you were not here, because but if you were listening to the Bible study from last night, I want you to look at what the Lord gave me, because we're going to teach you today the last part of your booklet, okay? And the last part of your booklet is really how to fish for yourself. It is a step-by-step instructions on how to use blueletterbible.com, okay, or .org, blueletterbible.org, which I believe is the most wonderful study guide that we have available to us as Christians, because what it does is it gives you all the Hebrew meanings of all of all scripture. It gives you all the Greek meanings of all scripture. It even gives you the Hebrew, if you're studying Hebrew, what tense the words were spoken in, so you know if they're spoken in a future tense, a past tense, or present tense. They let you know if, you know, I mean, so you if it's a verb, or I mean, all types of things, they're letting you know. Is this a pile? Is this a nephile? What structure is this word being spoken in? And once you learn Hebrew and you're reading, the meaning of the scripture doesn't bypass you, because you know the structure of the meaning of the word and the structure of the word, how it was spoken. Anyway, I didn't mean to make that sound as complicated as it is, because it's not really. But having Blue Letter Bible really teaches you. Now, I'm going to go over this, what I did last night, that the Lord had me like three nights, okay? Three nights, the Lord, okay, this is what I want you to speak on. This number here, 117, I want you to speak on that number. And so, as I'm trying to speak on this particular letter, as I'm trying to speak on this number, because I know this is a code. 117 is a code. Whether it's 711 or it's 117, I know that this is a code. A matter of fact, I'm going to write it here, because, you know, Hebrew is right to left and we're backwards. We think they're backwards, but we're backwards. Okay? So I know that this right here, Genesis chapter 7 verse 11, ends right here in Psalms chapter 17. So, but to get from Genesis to Psalms, you have to go in a complete circle of time to get back to here. And then this ends in 2017, or the Jubilee of the 117, or 2017. All right, Pastor. You got it? Okay, so what did the Lord want me to teach last night? Now, could anybody teach this? I don't know. I really don't know. I just know I better do my job, because God gave it to me, and I don't want somebody else doing my job. Like, I don't want somebody else praising God's name. You know, there's a song that says a rock is not going to outpraise me.
Right.
Okay, because these rocks are not going to cry out. So here, we know 1947, 1948 are Psalms books, and we got Psalms 47, prophecy happened. Psalms 48, 1948, prophecy happened. 99, 104, the Indonesian flood, prophecy happened. Then you have this prophecy in Psalms 117, which is not really a prophecy, but it's a warning telling the whole world, all the Gentile nations, to rejoice, because now you're at the end of the circle, okay? And so it commands us to rejoice. And then this right here, Psalms 17, then divides the whole Bible in half, okay? So we know that when this time comes, something's going to happen that's going to divide time from that time to this time, and I believe it'll be all the time up to the end of the Gentile church. Now the tribulation begins and the end of God's plan of that 7 years. Okay, so now all of this happened, and then now we get the Bible divides here at 117. So since the Bible divides there, and this talks about the end of things, now you're going to take that out, Pastor Ben?
No, they get in the glare and they can't see the 104.
Okay.
And the 2004.
Yeah. Maybe it's the lights bouncing off my head.
No.
You think so? I don't know. Okay, so now what we're looking at is, now we know that 117 divides the Bible in Psalms. So God says, I'm going to code all the books that are like from Genesis to Song of Songs. That's the 22nd book of the Bible. Okay. Now we start over from Psalm. Then we say 1, 2, 3, and we count to 22. So Acts becomes a 22nd book of the Bible, because we know that the Bible is 66 books. Then we start counting from Acts, and then we count all the way to Revelation, and that becomes the last 22 book of the Bible. And that, so these are all last books of the Bible. Well, we know Song of Song has 117 verses. So God coded the end time prophecy in the Song of Song, because the Song of Song talks about the marriage, and the end of the Gentile prophecy is the marriage. Then there in Acts, there is a engagement of the church to Christ. Okay? Because he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he goes away and he says, I will not drink again until I see you in the kingdom. So we get the Holy Spirit here, but all of these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, equal 117 chapters. So now, because this is talking about the end of what? The Gentile or the gospel story. The gospel story ends with 117 chapters. Then we go to Revelation, and now we're looking for 117 again. We don't find it, but in Revelation 20, 1 through 7, we find 6 1,000s. And so now we're saying, okay, that's the end of the 1,000 years, of the 6,000 years. And it says, and God puts it in chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, God, you're just doing too much. And so now we have 2017 coded inside of Revelation, but we know that 117 equals the year 2017. So still in Revelation, you have the year 117. So what God has said is, now you've come all the way from Genesis all the way around to Revelation. Just what Ezekiel did for us. Okay. Ezekiel said, hey, this is a fourth book, but I want to talk to you about Revelation chapter 4. So I'm going to show you the vision of the door opening in heaven. Okay. Now, to get all of that, to have all of these 117s in all the 22 books, then God says, okay, now read Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. So I read Genesis chapter 1 and 6, and this is the first time you get the number 117 in scripture, and it happens to be in verse 6. Why? Because this is the 6,000th year, 2017. So it's in verse 6, like Noah was in the 600th year when the flood happened. And we're in the 6,000th year when the judgment comes. So he puts it in verse 6 because God's consistent. I know that, but through studying, you're going to find out that, and then the Bible blows your mind every time you read it. Okay, so you get this word right here, Yehi Mavdel, and it says, and he will divide, and he will divide, okay? And so the word here, what is the scripture? It's in Genesis chapter 1, right? Verse 6. And it says here, now watch this. I would love to read it in Hebrew, but I got it in English. And it says, okay, it says, I'll kind of say what it says in Hebrew. It says, Veyomer Elohim, Okay, Yehi Rakia. Wait a minute. Okay, so it says Yehi Rakia in the midst of the waters, and then it says, and let it divide. That word, that phrase right here, and let it divide. Okay, is a numerical value. Listen, and let it divide is a numerical value of, look here, and let it divide what? It has a numerical value of exactly 117, which is the exact scripture that divides the Bible. But he put it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 to tell you what's going to happen in the 6,000th year. So he says, let there divide, okay? And so let it divide, and it's a numerical value of 117. So now he's letting you know his code is 117, 117, 117, 711. This even has a 711 code when you count the chapters and the words. So everything is coded into, you've come full circle, you've come from 711 to 117. The will is complete. Look for the marriage and the judgment to begin. And so now, since we're in the middle of this, or toward the end of this last this Jubilee year, we're looking for to see what's going on with this, because the 6 days of work has been complete for God. Hallelujah. Now you look at this and you go, Pastor Sandy's on some biblical trip. Who would brain start thinking like this? Well, that's the thing. I want your brain to start thinking like this. Isn't that something? You too can have a brain like you too can be crazy like me. So what I want you to do is learn how to study the Word of God for yourselves. Now, I hope you have your booklets with you today, and because I need to teach you how to have this study habit, okay? All right, here we go. I want you to have this study habit. So, in our booklet, guess what, you guys? We're at the end of the first semester booklet. That means you're about to have another test. And we're at the end of our first semester booklet. Look what I put in here. You say, Pastor Sandy, you are awesome to do this for us. God instructed me to do this. This was not me. He said, teach them how to study now. You see that thing? I'm giving them free advertisement. And if you want to donate to that site, they allow you to donate to them. But what they do, what this is the greatest Bible study tool that you can have. I remember I used to have what's those big old things that you have? The Cora.
Accordion,
yeah. What is that? What it was? No. The big book that you have to look up all concordance. I had a Greek concordance that was about this thick. Then I had a Hebrew concordance that was about this thick. And if I wanted to look up any word, I had to go in there and find the word inside of the concordance, right? And then, but it still didn't give me the full scripture and how the scripture was being written and structured and each word like that. But when I discovered Blue Letter Bible, that all I had to do was click on a button and it gave me every Hebrew word in that scripture, I was like, oh my God, I have found gold, right? So in this, as you're studying your Bible, what I did on this page, and you should be on page 55, and what I did with this was this. I'm teaching you how to study. Okay? So what I did is I gave you step by step. Now, once you pull up howtouseblueletterbible.org to study, okay? Now, you have boxes here that you would put in. It says it takes you to the book you request. So this is the book I requested. I put inside of the box, I want to look at John chapter 3 or whatever book I want to, okay? John chapter 3. Now,
once John chapter 3 comes up, now above that is prior books, prior chapter, select a verse, next chapter, next book. How many of you see that? I hope you all see that. Okay? It says this box is where you place the books you want to study. Click and search the example. So I put in John chapter 3. So it says, now you select the verse that you want to, okay? So I pick a verse. Let me look at this here. I'm going to go over to the next page. See, did I pick what? Okay. Then once you go into the next page, it'll show you that once you click on to the book, it will give you all the books of the Bible. And hopefully some of you guys already know how to use Blue Letter Bible. But I'm going to teach you something really cool about it, though, okay? Now, once I have there, step 5 says, okay, the next chapter will take you to chapter 4. Then if you say next book, that'll take you from John to Acts, okay? So that's how you control which books you want to. It says, once you have found the book and the chapter you want to read, you may want to understand what you are reading. Maybe a word is confusing or the scripture is confusing. The Old Testament original scriptures that you will get will be in Hebrew. So, and the New Testament original scriptures that you would read would be in Greek. God did this for a reason, because every Hebrew letter is a number and every Greek letter is a number. So God can also mix and match numerical values from the Tanakh to the Brit Hadashah and keep the books in complete sequence. Okay, so it says, to the left of the scriptures, you will see 6 letter boxes. And I want to show this so you can see, because we're on page 56. These little boxes here, K, C, L, all of those are going to teach you now something even more important than finding the scriptures. And what do they teach you? If I click on the C, I don't know what Blue Letter Bible wanted to do with clicking on the C, what the C was about, but I call it my connection button, because the C connects me to the original language, okay? So I click on the C, and let's say I have the word, the scripture, Genesis chapter 1. So I click on the C, I want to know, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to look at that in Hebrew. I click on the C, and the C connects me to the original language, okay? The C will give you each word in the verse. I'm on page 57 now. The C will give you each word in the verse in its original language, the Old Testament Hebrew. Let's look at the verse after clicking C. So I click C, and up comes this. I'm going to put it in front of the camera, Pastor Ben. And up comes this. And what is that? Genesis chapter 1. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et haaretz. Okay, haaretz. Now I want to look at what each one of those words mean, and it'll give you the Strong's number in the middle that you can click on what the word means. So in the middle you have the Strong's concordance in what each word means. So Bereshit, I would click on that, and then it would give me the meaning of Bereshit. Elohim would give me the meaning of Elohim. Bara, which will give me the meaning of the word Bara, which means to create out of nothing, only used toward God. And then Hashamayim and Et and Aretz, which means the land. Okay. At the bottom it says, after clicking the C here, I have every word in the verse. Now, if I want to know the meaning of the word, the Strong Dictionary will give me that. So I looked up the word Reshit, because when it says Bereshit, when I clicked on it,
it didn't give me the word Bereshit. You know what it gave me? It gave me the word Reshit, which told me that the B is a prefix connected to that word. So I want to see what that word actually means. Well, the word Reshit means first fruit. And I thought, okay, that's a strange way to start a book that you haven't even created an earth yet. You know what I mean? You haven't even said, let there be, okay, or anything. But here you says it doesn't. So Reshit means first fruit. So it says Bereshit, in the first fruit. Do you know to have a first fruit, you have to have ground to plant seeds, then you have to have a harvest. So to have a first fruit, you have to have a harvest. So the first root word that God uses in his whole Bible is in the first fruit. Who's the first fruit? Jesus Christ. So the whole scripture of Genesis is talking about a plan for the first fruit, which is going to be Jesus Christ. Okay, so in the first fruit, okay, or in the beginning, created God out of nothing, bara, Elohim, okay, et hashamayim va'et haret. So he created this, but he hasn't created a tree yet. So that means from the very beginning, God started prophesying to you, okay? Because you can't say in the first fruit if there's no trees yet. So you're prophesying to me? What are you prophesying to me? I'm prophesying to you that there's going to be a harvest. And I'm prophesying to you that that harvest is going to be the first fruit. And I'm prophesying to you that that first fruit is going to be Yeshua. And now we haven't done the scriptural study on Genesis or the word Bereshit, because inside the word of Bereshit is the cross, the thorns on his head. What else, Pastor Ben? It's like the gift. Inside one word is the whole gospel story. But once you learn Hebrew, you'll be able to look at that one word and scripturally find thorns on my head is inside of the word Bereshit. That was crazy when I found that out in Hebrew. Thorns on my head is inside the word Bereshit. Because Rosh is head, right? So what's on Rosh? Bereshit. The thorns. And it gives you the word thorns on my head inside the word Bereshit. So the very first word of the scripture is packed with the New Testament gospel story inside of one word, okay? But we have that study in the second semester of this class because you got a test coming up, but I can't give it to you yet. Okay, so now I found this word. I found a way to click on the Blue Letter Bible and find the Hebrew and then find the meaning of each word. Now, on page 58... we're talking about Reshit. If you look at that page 58, you will see that when you click on it, it gives you the word Reshit, not Bereshit, because Bereshit means in the beginning or in the first fruit. And you'll see that the word actually means, okay, first, beginning, best, shift, okay, beginning, first, chief, okay. So now, if you look down at the bottom, it'll say beginning. It's used 18 times. First fruit, this word is used 11 times, where it says authorized version translation counts. Okay, so it'll tell you when I use Bereshit, it's used in the Bible 18 times as beginning, but it's used 11 times as first fruit and 9 times as first, 8 times as chief. Okay, so the word Bereshit also means first fruit. Now, what I want to do now is go to the New Testament of the Bible. And I say, let me look at the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, and we're on page 59 now, if you can go there. In the workbook on page 59. Incredible page here. Because what is going to do is now
because you're in the New Testament, New Testament Greek, Old Testament Hebrew, okay? And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God, okay? Now, when you look at the Greek, you can see that the Word was not a God. That's not in the originals, but that's what the Jehovah Witness, they said the Word was a little God, and he was, you know, so it gives, but the Greek takes you back and says, no, I didn't mix my words. I meant that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's all I wrote. Do not add or subtract to my word, or else there's a big punishment, okay? So, I get all of the Greek words for that, and then I'll see logos, the word logos, which is there, and all of the words that are in Greek that are there, logos, and in the beginning there with. So, you can look up all the Greek words, you know, and you can see the real true meaning of all the Greek words. Let me see where I am now. Where I am. Logos. On page 60, you see the word logos. Means word. Okay? Sayings, accounts, speech, word, Christ, seven times. Okay? So it gives you the meaning of the word logos. And seven times in the scripture, it is directly pointing you toward Christ, which is the word of God. Okay, now, the very last page is what we really need to look at, okay? Here, Pastor Ben, I want you to make sure that everybody's on this page. This is page 61. Okay? Now, we've already clicked on the C, and what did the C do for us? The C gave us, connected us to the original language of the scripture. Hebrew or Greek. Now there's another letter on the side, on that side that you need to click for, and it's a K. And what I don't know what the letter that they originally, why they put it as a K, but I think of the K as additional knowledge, okay, of that scripture. So I read this scripture. Watch the scripture that I read. And it says right here, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, okay? It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And I went, wow, okay? Let me see if there's additional knowledge concerning that statement, because that's a strong statement. So I click on it, the K, and it gives me all the scriptures that's connected to that scripture that's used throughout the Bible. And I find that in the rest of the Bible, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, is written in the Bible, not just in Revelation 22, but Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, somebody else is also saying he is the beginning and the end, okay? And then in Isaiah 44, verse 6, someone else is saying he is the beginning, the first and the last. In Isaiah 48, someone else is saying, I'm the first and the last. So we got to find out if the person who's saying they're the first and the last in Revelation is also the same person who's saying they're the first and the last in Isaiah, because you're in the Brit Hadashah in Revelation and you're in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Are these both the first and the last? Because if they are, then whoever's saying it in Revelation is the same person who said it in Isaiah. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the ending. It says, says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, El Shaddai, the Almighty. So Jesus is proclaiming himself in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's not going to say the Alpha and Omega, he's Hebrew. He'll say what? I am the Aleph and the Tav. I'm the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet and the end of the Hebrew alphabet. And it says, so, and then he says at the end, and he is the Almighty. In chapter 1, verse 11 of the book of Revelation, it says, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It says, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Chapter 21 of Revelation. Jesus says once again, he says unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that which is a thirst, and of the fountains the waters of life freely. Now, I wanted to read one because one says that there's, I think it's an eight, that it doesn't give, because it says before eight, it says, I was dead, but now I am alive. The next verse after he says he's the first and the last, he says, I was dead, but now I'm alive, in 1 verse 8. So now, whoever's the Alpha and Omega, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, I think, and 9, it says, I was dead, but now I'm alive, okay, forevermore. So whoever the Alpha and Omega is, he also experienced death, okay? Okay, so now we say, well, let's look at who's saying they're the Alpha and Omega in the Tanakh. Because Jesus is claiming to be the Alpha and Omega, and that he died and he's now alive, and that he's the first and the last. So in the Tanakh we go, and we find Isaiah chapter 41 verse 4. And it says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. Chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Wow. So whoever is the first and the last, there's no God but him. That's. See, this is why Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. You can't believe Jesus to be someone other than who he said he is. And Jesus made the Pharisees mad because they said, you're making yourself to be God. That's why we're mad at you. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. It says, I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. That's Elohim speaking, Yahweh speaking in the Old Testament, declaring that he is the first and the last. So either there's two different people claiming they're the first and the last, and then the one of them says, besides him, there's no God. Besides Yeshua, there is no God. Besides the Holy Spirit, there is no God. Besides the Father, there is no God. Show us the Father then, Jesus. Have I not been with you long enough that you don't know me? Don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Jesus said this. Why? Because the understanding of Scripture of who came to die for you is very important, that God stepped into his own creation and died for your sins. Every cult in the world believes in Jesus. So don't say, oh, I believe in Jesus, because every cult believes in Jesus. Who do you believe Jesus is always going to be the big question. So when you say to someone, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they said, wow, I believe in Jesus too. The immediate question you better ask them is, who do you believe that Jesus is? And if they say, oh, I believe he was a transcendent teacher that God sent to teach us how to become gods, you got to go, okay, I'm not talking to a Christian, I'm talking to a cult, okay? In Islam, okay, this is what they were handing out when they got me. Come to our meeting. The on the pamphlet said, Jesus saves. Oh my goodness. I didn't know Muslims believed in Jesus. I'm going. Then when I got there, I realized the Jesus that they believed in was not the Jesus that I had believed in, because the Jesus they believed in was any manifestation of a leader, of a religious leader that begins Islam. So they say Farrakhan's a Jesus. They say Wallace D. Farad was a Jesus. You know, Elijah Muhammad was a Jesus. And then they say, oh, and the ancient Jesus, he bowed out because he couldn't accomplish the mission. But now the new Jesuses are here from Islam. And that's like, okay, these people are nuts. God has already told you who Yeshua is, and Yeshua has told you who he is. And who is he? Jesus is God in the flesh, come to redeem his own creation back to himself. Okay? And you, as a born-again Christian, cannot veer from that, because Jesus says to the Pharisees, John chapter 8, I don't know what verse, I think it's verse 13, but I'm not sure. You might have to read the. He says to the Pharisees, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. That's a big statement. That means they can say, well, we believe you, but we just don't believe you're God. He would say, well, then you're going to die in your sins. Okay? We believe you're a good teacher, but you're not God. Oh, Jesus says, well, you're going to die in your sins. Okay, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you are going to die in your sins. Okay, so you have to believe Jesus' testimony of who he says he is. But now, how did I get that study? I clicked on the K in Blue Letter Bible, and it says, first and the last, hold up, let me give you some additional knowledge. There are seven other times in scripture that someone is claiming to be the first and the last. You can find all the scriptures that connect to that scripture by clicking K. Okay? So in every scripture, once you click on a scripture, the Bible says that the scriptures are witness to each other so that you don't get off in your scriptural understanding. Every scripture has to have two or three witnesses. Okay? This is how you stay in line with God. So if I study a scripture and I like that scripture, I say, okay, let me make sure I'm not bringing a new doctrine in. Let me see where else in scripture that this scripture is, so I can verify what it's truly talking about. And it'll take me, when I click on that K, it'll give me all the scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit. It'll give me all the scriptures that talk about the snake on the pole. You know what I mean? So it's going to make sure that I stay within scripture, and it's giving me the meaning of each word so that I don't ever have to be off. I don't ever have to be someone that has found a new religion because I misunderstood scripture, because I'm checking scripture against scripture by clicking the K and making sure all those scriptures are in alignment to what I'm believing this scripture to say. Understand? Perfect. So now you know how to fish. See? So now you can start fishing like Pastor Sandy. Well, not yet, because we haven't done the second semester. And in the second semester, one of the great things that we do is gematria. Because once you know the numerical values of the Hebrew and the numerical values of the Greek, well, you don't know those yet, but you will when you get to class. And then you'll learn how to connect. You'll find out that 3 plus 1 in the Old Testament is 4.
And 1 + 3 in the New Testament is 4, and that's the same number telling you who's the same and what's the same. All the numbers connect so that no one, because see, people can lie on words, but you can't lie on numbers. Okay? So Jesus is always going to be 88. Like, for example, in the Old Testament, the rock is 296. The rock that you have rejected, Israel, the rock that you have rejected, he is your salvation and your strength, but you have rejected the rock. The rock is 296. But when I get to the New Testament, Jesus Christ's numerical value is 888, but it's, we know that Jesus is a Trinity, so 3 times the 296 gives you the 888, which tells you that the rock is really Jesus. Okay? So it's just amazing the way God put his scriptures together. And we're going to start on book 2. Now, this is going to be, Pastor Ben, we're done with this book.
Wow.
We've gone through this book.
Wow.
Let's grow before we go. Are we growing? We're growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now time for the second semester book. And I begin that, I think that begins with Joseph, the story of Joseph, Joseph the movie. And then we're going to continue on through that scripture and learn even more about God's word and how to translate it, how to keep it in line. Because Malachi, what is it, 2:7 says, it is the responsibility for the minister of God, for the priest, to know the word of God. Why? Because you are a mouthpiece from God to the people. That's not saying just Pastor Sandy or just Pastor Ben. That's saying, because look, all of us, once you accept Christ, you moved from a regular person into a royal priesthood. So now you are a royal priesthood. So now it is your responsibility to know the word of God. And then the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So now God is commanding you to study. Why? Because he knows you've moved into priesthood and you have to be able to give an answer to people when they ask you what you believe. Okay? That's why we study. That's why I'm so proud of each and every one of you for taking the Hebrew course, because you're telling God, I want to know more about you. I love you so much. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your word. And that makes God happy, because you being in a relationship, you're not just saying, oh, well, it's nice to meet you. You know, you're in this relationship. You say, I want to know about what else you're interested in. What else? I want to know more about you. That's what a relationship is. Yeah, you don't marry somebody and go, well, I just like you. You're a good cook. I don't care if you write poetry and paint. That's not what I want to know. I just want to know if you're a good cook. No, I want to know more about, I want to know about your art. I want to know about your paintings. I want to know about what you think, your poetry. I want to know you completely. And that's what you're telling God when you study Hebrew. I want to know more about you, because I know your language is Hebrew and I want to speak your language and communicate with you better. So that's it for this week. And I'm going to go register my 11-year-old into junior high school, because life goes on until the trumpet blows, and then really life goes on. Praise God. Okay, we're going to pray out since I'm in a singing mode. We're going to pray out. Now, you know they used to do this for the priest. Okay. I have no idea, and maybe I shouldn't be doing it, but the priest, they, you know, when I went to the synagogue, they do that, and then they read the benediction. I'm like, isn't that from Star Trek or something? I'm like, wait. Okay, so here we go. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmarekha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. V'yaseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. V'yasim l'kai shalom. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmarekha. We know that to mean the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. L'Yidreot Shavua Haba. See you next week.